Tonight. Amen. Do you really believe that you're standing sinless before God? That's the way God sees you tonight. Don't worry about how your brother, your mother, your sister, your wife, they look at you and they see all kinds of mistakes. But if you're in Christ under the blood, He sees you sinless tonight. Amen. We ought to be a very happy people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray. Father, Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. For you said, Lord, there in Romans, Father, that there is now, present tense, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father God, Lord, would you open our eyes of our spiritual vision tonight, Lord? Allow us, Lord, to push aside all the things of life, the things that are running through our mind and all the things we have to do or didn't do. But Lord, we've got this next hour or so, Father. Lord, would you set us free in your spirit? Would you just let us have such a time, Father, that Lord, we would look so forward to getting into your presence again, Father, to just getting alone with you, and then even more so coming back to church with our brothers and sisters. Oh, what a gathering, what a time it should be, Lord. We love you, Father. Would you have your way tonight in our hearts? Would you anoint us mightily, Father, each one of us? Lord, my lips, Lord, are the heart and the ear of the hearer, Father God. I pray you would speak to me tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, I know you're able to, Father. Would you have your way tonight? And I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory as we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Am I too loud? Not loud enough yet, okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Now, if you laugh at my glasses, they only cost me $1, so remember that. My wife told me they were ugly, but so they match me a little bit then. Amen. Matthew 16 and 13, very familiar scripture reading. You might not believe it, but I'm nervous, so pray for me. Everyone have that scripture? Amen. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I am the Son of Man. I am that I am. I'm the Son of Man. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am tonight?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." We want to emphasize the flesh and the blood had not revealed it to him, but it was the Father in the heaven. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. God bless you, and may God bless his word to you as you're seated. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So, might as well get rid of this. That's kind of my official prop. I was going to bring a little subject to you tonight, if you can catch it, and I pray that you do. My worst enemy. You're looking at him tonight. I'm my own worst enemy. Amen. Isn't it a thought that I looked up some quotes, and Brother Branham said, "Brother Branham, I'm my own worst enemy." He didn't say the devil was his worst enemy. He said he was his own worst enemy.
Amen.
So we blame everything on the devil. Some things on the wife, some things on somebody else, but we don't like to blame this guy. But tonight, if you can catch a focus on it, the main theme about it is to look to yourself that you are your own worst enemy. I know that hurts feelings, but that's the way it is, you know, because it says no man hateth himself. Amen? So we're our own worst enemy tonight. And I was going to look for this one couple, said they were, "Brother David, good to see you, brother. God bless you for your sacrifice." He was just up on my roof today and called me and said he wanted to be here. And I guess he There he is. He spoke the word, and here he is. Amen. Amen. Nothing. You have to sacrifice to be blessed. Amen. So I know it's a sacrifice for you to be out here tonight. And they did announce that I was going to be preaching, so all that showed up, I pray that you knew I was here. And if you didn't, then I'm sorry you're disappointed tonight that Brother Jeff or someone else isn't here. But one thing is important. He's here. So if you came looking for him, expecting him to be here, then you'll be satisfied. But if you're looking for your satisfaction in Brother Howard or Brother Jeff or Brother Lonnie or other the brothers, you're missing it. Amen. There's only satisfaction in one, and that's in Christ Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't work today, so all those that prayed for me while I was walking my route, I was sitting at the house studying, so it worked out real well when Brother Lonnie asked me, and it just happened. My days off rotate Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday. So it felt good, and I felt good about that. So praise the Lord. Let's get to the word here. In Uncertain Sound, I was reading, and I thought, well, here I am. I was back there marking all these quotes and books and everything, and I said, I know I won't read half of them, you know, or probably not even that many. Hey, man, is Brother Jim Crook here? I saw his wife. Where's he at? Praise the Lord. He's supposed to be over there. So Brother Jim can wave when I get there, because they had me figured out in Africa. He said one night it took me 2 hours to get into the spirit of preaching, and then different times, and he said, only took you a half hour tonight, brother. Took you an hour. They told me every time how long it took me. So one night we were on the way. We preached an afternoon meeting, and it was tough because it was an outside meeting. And I had a hard time with the wind and the noise, and it was just very hard to concentrate for myself. And I felt like I struggled the whole time. But then when I got in the car and I just started going over things and meditating, it just seemed like I got just more, and I use this term, we call it fired up. It just seemed like the fire of God just started turning in me. So I just started kind of, not only say bragging, but I said, now when we get to this next place, it won't take me 5 minutes. And wasn't I right? Because I could feel it the whole time. It was like I was looking forward to get there. And Brother Paddington, he wanted to go stop and eat. He wanted to help us, you know, because he thought we were weak Americans, you know, that we had to eat all the time. But Brother Jim, he's tough. We just eat apples and tangerines and things. And we just kept going. And I just anticipated that meeting. And as soon as we got there, boy, we had a time. And then Brother Paddington wanted to shut it down, and Brother Jim looked over and goes, I'm not ready to go. Amen. So I don't remember what time it was, but it was good. But anyway, here in Uncertain Sound, I was reading these things, and Brother Branham's talking about germ life, and he had sat down with his friend Dr. Adair, and they were considering, you know, the way the Lord showed Brother Branham the spiritual applications, and he was going over the way the medical field looked at it. And they were talking about germs and things and mucus. And they were saying that inside that mucus, that there's a germ there. And they could see that germ, you know, with a microscope and everything. But Brother Branham said, I'm interested in the life of that germ. Where did that life come from that gave that germ life? And it started building on itself, cell over cell, and things, and they said, we can't tell that. But see, that Brother Branham said, that's the devil. Because see, we're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual fight tonight. You think you're just sitting here in a nice building, comfortable AC, but there's a great warfare going on, and it's over your soul tonight. It's over, will you get out of your own reasoning, your own channels, or your own thought, your own cares, your own worries, all the things that just seem to cause you so much trouble. Well, let me tell you tonight, simply turn the channel. You know, we're good at this. Change the dial. Tune into Christ. Tune into the Holy Ghost. It's free there. Amen. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, I missed the song service. Brother Tommy sang all my favorite songs. I was sitting back there. I go, I'm missing all my good stuff. But then halftime, I come out here. I'm in the spirit of worship instead of the spirit of preaching. And it takes a while to kick over. So anyway, so he was interested in that life. And when I've been thinking about that, you know, And I'm sorry to hear that my brother David, your brother died. But you know what happens is this old body gives out. And then it can't hold that spirit. The body dies, but the spirit don't die. Right? Just like the devil. Now what they do, like you have cancer, chemotherapy, they try to run that mass that they don't know what they think they're killing the mass, but what they're doing is killing that body that the devil is coming and taking place. He's got a mass going and he's alive. He's a spirit. You can't see him, but he's there because he's reproducing himself in a mass and he's trying to take your life. So what they want to do is they want to poison him with radiation, that mass, till it drives that spirit out of that mass. And then the mass dies because it has no life. Right? When my body gives up and gives way, my spirit moves on and says, I have another body already waiting. Right? See, my spirit don't die. My body, you might put my body in the grave, but Howard's not there. You see the veil that Howard's behind. The spirit that you call Howard and the things that I've gathered through life and my complexes and all these things and tells me who I am, you know, my mind, that you just see the veil that I'm behind. But see, that's the thing we have to catch tonight. See, it's a spiritual warfare. And you are a spiritual being. As Brother Jeff says it so many times, and I love the way he says that you are first, you're first a soul. You're a spirit. You were in the mind of God. You were in the plan of God. And now you've come and you've taken on a veil. You've taken on a body that we might have fellowship one with another. Amen. And Christ might manifest all his attributes to us. Amen. If we didn't get sick, he wouldn't be our healer. If I was never lost, he couldn't save me. I know he's a savior because I've had the experience. Amen. I know he's a healer because I've been sick. Amen. And so what happens is that I have a relationship with him. So as Peter was standing there, and see, Jesus was a veil. He was a man. They were just looking on him as another natural man. But he was more than a man. He was God, the Spirit of God. The Father was veiling himself behind that man. Amen? And so when Jesus asked who he was, then a spiritual thing happened. A quickening, a revelation, a spiritual relationship took place. Not flesh and blood, not like Brother Howard's trying to speak to you tonight and you can comprehend English and my broken English and maybe my city slang. But what is really going on is there's a spiritual happening here tonight. Because if Howard can get himself out of the way and speak the words of God, and the Holy Ghost will anoint that and bring it to life, because the Word and the Spirit are one, and my Word is Spirit and it's life. Amen. And then something will happen to you. It'll quicken the spiritual being that you are veiled in. And that's why we need to break away from our veil tonight, into so much that we're so caught up in our veil, so caught up in our mind. You know, if we spent half the time we do getting looking good to come to church and preparing our soul before God, we'd be a lot farther down the road. Amen. And it's that simple, my brother, my sister. So that's the one thing I like about this. My spirit doesn't die. So I move on. My soul. Now, in being born again, the prophet said, ye must be born again. How many times he says you got to die to be born again? Amen. Now, we had a lot of people come up for the Holy Ghost a month or so ago or more. I lose track of time. The whole problem we have is we just don't die enough. That's as simple as it is, because what we do is we're trying to reason too much. You're looking at your veil. You're looking at your mind, your accumulation of your education and the experiences. I guess in the word so modern term, your hard drive. You know, you've got everything on memory here and you're just running through it. But see, you gotta turn that off. You gotta die to that to be born again. You've got to die to your reasoning. See, that part of you has to be so dead Now, if you're going to catch something, catch this. Because, boy, it excited me today. Because what happens now, see, if Howard drops dead right here in front of you, I have a massive heart attack, and I just laid over, you can believe Howard's not here anymore. Because he left his body and his, you know, me and my body are kind of close. You know what I mean? So if I leave and I don't take my body, you know, I don't have no trouble no more. I can guarantee you that. Ashton's enjoying this. You like my rough medical terms. I try to use it the best I could through Brother Branham. But here's the key now. If you can really die to yourself, die to your problems, die to your worries, don't care what anybody thinks about you. We want them to think good, but you know, we're not going to, let that get in our way. So when you really die, then something happens to you. You have to move on to another body. And that body is a mystical body, the body of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. That's how you enter into Christ. You have to die. So if you're going to give up, a lot of times we give our hearts to God 28 years ago. But it took me a long time to give my life to Him. It's so easy to come up here and say, Lord, I give you my heart. Come in, Lord Jesus. And something happens. He comes to you. I mean, I was smoking dope that morning, and I was saved that night. And I'm telling you, it was like, it's not brainwashing because it happened too quick. The next day, I saw life a totally different way. Now, I could go to Ephesians and say, see, we're sitting in spiritual places in Christ Jesus. He's lifted me up into heavenly places in Christ. And as soon as one, he said, if he could get your spirit, if you could just get your spirit to agree with his word just for a moment, if you could just take that moment and say, Lord, I recognize I'm lost. Come into my life. Save me, Lord Jesus. I heard you're a Savior. Say, if He could just get you for that one moment, you'll never be the same again. You'll never be, because that happened to me, and I went out and tried it for 2 more months, and I was not the same person. I could never do the things that I used to do, and it was so easy to do them before. Something happened, but I gave my heart. But see, a lot of times we give our hearts, but we don't give our life. And if you want to go into the body of Christ, you have to give your life. Because you have to leave your own body. Are you following me? You have to leave your own life, your own existence, your own will, your own desires, your own lust, your own pleasures. You have to die to those to come into the body of Christ. Your body has to be so dead in order to enter into Christ. Now that's receiving the Holy Ghost. We come into me or I enter into Him. It happens, as long as it happens, and you'll never be the same. It's His life now. It's not your life. I'm bought with a price. It's not, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. So a lot of us are sitting around here, and those that come up to the Holy Ghost for the Holy Ghost the other day, what you got to do is you got to die. You got to become so concerned that you want to die so dead that you'll know when you got the Holy Ghost. Nobody has to tell you nothing. Now, I can close the book, say amen, glory to God, and that's all we need. Right, Brother Jim? Amen. But you know, I'm going to read this. And this is, I'd read this before. I read it after, I guess, but I'd read it last year. But this is what struck me in The Family Altar, chapter 2, or second volume. July 13th. Then Jesus said unto them, I go my way. This is St. John 8 he read out of, but you don't have to turn to it. Then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way, and ye seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. He must have been talking to the Pharisees, the religious people, right? And then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come. Because, you know, they were thinking carnal. Hey, we can go anywhere you can go. You know, he didn't have a jet plane to jump and fly somewhere. We can walk with you. you know, we can follow you wherever. Where are you going to go that we can't go? Right? Whether I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I saith therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Amen. I want to read that scripture. I'm going to read it just real quick because I can. Where's this time at here? Is that 8:25? Okay, we're going to be good tonight. Praise the Lord. Something in me drives me to be good anymore. Can you imagine that? And I still make a lot of mistakes. Ask my family. But I know, I said, I'm trying to be good. I'll get to that in a minute, why I'm so... Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1 in here, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? Verse 20, which he wrought... Let me read 13. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We think that we want to be in Christ, but his attitude is, you are his inheritance. He wants to be in you. See, because Christ died to himself. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. Jesus died like no other man ever died on the cross. Why did he die? Because he wanted to move into his body. He wanted to have a relationship with his sons and daughters of God. He wanted to have fellowship with you and I tonight. That's why he died so dead that the sun didn't shine. The earth shook. The rocks were rent. The veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. They said, surely, even the unbeliever, surely this must be the Son of God. He died such a death that no man died like that. And the reason he died that way was for fellowship for you and I, because Jesus knew he had a body he was going to dwell in. Ooh, that all made somebody shout. Nobody shouted on it. Praise the Lord. You got to catch this. There's a moving on going, brothers and sisters. There's a change going on in our bodies. We don't see it, but it's happening. It's coming to the place where this body will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's an invisible union taking place now, because Christ is dwelling in his body. He's fulfilling his word. In this hour that you live, he's fulfilled his word in such a mighty way. It was the same way that he was here in flesh himself. As we read, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? The Son of Man was there on that day because that life, the original life, was planted. The spoken word's the original seed. He was the original seed, and he was planted in the hearts of the believer. Amen? And then that original seed, that original church, died a death in dark denominations. They organize man. As soon as the man of God leaves, they organize it, and it dies. And there's always got to be a death to move on. And then, boy, I sound like I'm really yelling, but praise the Lord, I'll keep you awake. Did you know that Cain's descendants, when Cain was thrown out of the presence of God, where did he go? He went to the land of Nod. So if you're nodding off tonight, guess where you're going? And this used to be, we used to say this back in Fort Worth, we used to say this was amen. You know, the church, everybody just sit there and goes, that's nodding again. Speak the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, even if you don't have to say it loud, just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Interact. I could ask you tonight, when you leave, did you have a good time in church? Did you enjoy it? And you'll say, yeah, I did. And you sat there the whole time like this. Well, you didn't participate. You're not telling the truth. Whoever goes to a party and sits over in the corner, you've seen them once in a while. They sit in the corner or stand against the wall. Are you having a great time? Yeah. Did you like the food? Haven't eaten anything yet. Hey, you got to participate to enjoy yourself. Amen. To tell the truth, if you enjoy, did I enjoy church? Amen. Well, then participate. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to stir you up somehow if I got to run the aisles. No. My brother here another day, I've been thinking that Superman thing the whole, all week. And I was going to come out in my suit and do my glasses. Not that I'm the super preacher. Now, he's the super preacher. If Howard can get out of the way, he's the super preacher. There's only one real preacher, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's God himself, Jesus Christ. Amen. So where was I? We're still dying, aren't we? Amen. See, it says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And we're talking about the total separation from God. Amen. The body, see, my body that I have is my worst enemy. My mind. This is how Satan works on me in order to manifest sin. My body is a vehicle to manifest sin. Because my soul is quickened by the Holy Ghost and sealed. He can't get in there. Amen. So, you know, a lot of us think a lot of ourselves, you know. It says no man should think more highly of himself than he should. Amen. We need to be sober-minded. But let's take a look at our bodies a little bit. You know, I was enjoying a brother, and these things had been on my mind for a while. So let's go over to Genesis, if you would, with me. And let's look at our worst enemy. Not the devil, yourself, your veil, your mind, your house. I just had to put a new roof on, and Dave was over doing other things. My house is costing me a lot of money. And this old house here can cost me a lot of money. It caused me a lot of trouble, as I said in Africa quite a few times, because I thought about it today. Brother Jim, I shaved my hair down. Usually it's 3/8. I shaved it to a quarter inch. I thought, man, if I might go bald, I might look younger, get rid of this gray hair. My wife said, don't do it. So I went down to a quarter inch. So we're in Genesis now. Stay with me. If you look at Genesis 6 and verse 1, this is after the fall, of course. You think about 6. 6 is the number of man, right? So we're in chapter 6. Grace is number 5, and that's why Adam's lineage was written down in chapter 5. Now we're 6. We're in the days of man. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of man, that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth those days. We don't want to read that. Chapter 5, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented, think about that, 6th verse, man, 6th chapter, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. 7th, he got the finish, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. 8 verse, grace, new beginning. Beginning, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The fall had taken place, but there still was a separate seed line. Right? Because Cain was kicked out. And Seth had their lineage of Seth in here. It was still a pure bloodline. And then Cain had his bloodline over here. He was in the land of Nod. Remember that? He's out there. But then as the world continued to populate, and you know, they probably started moving a little farther out and mixing, looking around, all of a sudden they saw the daughters of Cain, the daughters of man, that fallen line, that fallen serpent seed line, the mixture. They saw them, and them women was awful pretty. And that's why I still can't understand why brothers and sisters go out looking somewhere else. I just don't understand.
just don't understand. Legalists, remember that. But anyway, they saw them and they lusted after them and they took unto them and they mixed their pure bloodlines. God never did forgive them for it. He wiped them from the face of the earth. Seth's bloodline too. The pure bloodline. All but Noah and his family. That's how important God looks at the seed. Right? And that's why the Word of God is the seed of God. It's the life of God. And we must never mix the Word of God with any other thought, man's thoughts or reasonings. It's a pure Word of God. How can you, actually, when you think about it, how can you mix that? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost, when they denominate and they bring man's ideals into it, the Holy Ghost has to leave. Because he's not a mixer. He's a separator. He's pure. He's holy. He can't have anything. That's why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why our righteousness, as good as we can get, is still filthy rags in the sight of God. Because our flesh is perverted. Our flesh, the thing that you think so much of, and you bath so often, and our brother said, yes, please continue to take baths. We appreciate that. But the whole thing about it, we put more importance on this than we do our soul, our spirit man. And this thing is corruptible. It's dying. It's dead. It's going down. But people spend their whole life sowing to their flesh so they can have a better house, a better car. And we like those things. Those are okay. But you seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Got to get our priorities straight. God wants us to be blessed and it's good to be blessed. I mean, a lot of men of God in the Bible were prosperous men. But they had something first. They had God first on their mind and God blessed them. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this thing here, do I have any disagreements that this thing is serpent seed and you might not even know it? Now, we're not talking about your spirit. We're talking maybe, yeah, your spiritual mind. But we're talking about the soul, the difference between the soul and the flesh. This flesh is corrupted. Now, a lot of us, because it's so mixed over the years, a lot of people that I meet, they're a lot better person than I am. You know, because they got lucky and got some good traits. You know, I got a lot of bad traits. I see it popping all the way up through my family. And then we'll say, you know, then here's the thing I like about this. Well, praise the Lord, this is the way God made me. Oh, my whole family was grumpy, so I'm grumpy. My whole family was quiet, so I'm quiet. Praise the Lord. Sorry, God didn't make your flesh. He's interested in the soul, man. So now I encourage you get so far in Christ, get lifted up so far in the heavenlies, find your real position in Christ. We're talking, here we talk about recognizing your day and its message. We recognize our day. We recognize our message. Amen. But your position is in the body of Christ. That's your true position. You are raised in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus because He is in heavenly places. And we're raised above the things of the world. And then when we get so far in Christ, besides just giving my heart, I give Him my life, I give Him my flesh, I give Him my traits of my family life. This is what I have to overcome. See, the fruits of the church ages, it says, unto the church to have he that have an ear, let him hear. And he that overcometh gets to partake of all these great things. Amen. So what are you overcoming? You're overcoming yourself. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, I love. This is the attitude I love. Tell me something I don't know, Brother Howard. I already know that. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you live it then? You know, it's like somebody that says, I'm happy. Well, you better tell your face you're happy. Let everybody else know you're happy because you're not fooling me. You ain't happy. You know, you can go out and sit with some people and talk, and they'll talk about all the things of the world, and man, they're passionate. You start talking about the Word, and they just kind of like trail off, and you go, okay. From the abundance of the heart speaketh a man. What you talk about, what you live, what you breathe, what's your passion? And then we talk about passion. Let's have some passion for Christ. Now, well passion's an emotion, Brother Howard. You can't be led by your emotions. That's right. Don't trust in your emotions unless they're in Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. Are we going to have any emotions over on the other side?
Amen.
Are we going to have feelings? Are we going to praise God? Are we going to sing? Brother Branham said, if you think this is loud, he said, Brother Branham, I enjoyed that service, but all those people had to scream and say amen. He says, sister, this will be the quietest place you ever lived. Now let's go back to your flesh. I had to kill this. I'm killing this dude too. Well, Brother Howard, you know, your point. Brother Howard's in the same battle you are. This is my worst enemy. I'm killing myself every day, Paul said. Let me die daily. This dude is alive because I get up with him every morning and I look in the mirror and I'm kind of thankful he's alive today. You know, but I don't always like the way he acts. So I have to bring him in subjection. So I have to pray to the spirit man. I have to get in the presence of God. It's like I think I'm crazy, but it's like, we hear all these things about treating disease. I said, Lord, I'm here for a radiation treatment. I need some more Holy Ghost. Excuse me. I need a Holy Ghost treatment. I need to get in the spirit. I need to get so full of God. Brother Branham said, I need to pray so much till I get up. Everybody looks good. I didn't read the rest of my good quote here. This is what started motivating me. Sin is unbelief. The reason the people are in the conditions today and all kinds of diseases springing up that they don't know nothing about is because the way they live. And they live in unbelief. God sends His mercy and His messengers across the land preaching divine healing, and people laugh in the face of it and said there's nothing to it. He'll send the Holy Spirit to take sin away from a man, and they'll class him as a bunch of idiots. Then God's going to ask you, why did you do it? And you're going to have to answer on that day for the attitude that we took towards His Holy Spirit and His promises. Attitude. The way you act. Well, you know, and I cut up here. I like to worship. And if you sit back there and you say, Brother Howard's a little carried away. Remember your attitude. Not just me, anybody else. He's getting all worked up. Well, let me tell you how much I worked up today. I read, I prayed, I studied, I worked about 8 hours. Is that getting worked up? It's another way of looking at it. Well, because I might sing and get a little happy and I start using my imagination, I start thinking, well, praise the Lord. Everybody will be happy over there. I said, well, Lord, why can't I be happy here? I'm in Christ. The only thing that hasn't changed is my body. Hallelujah. My spirit's up there. It's in you, Christ. It's in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Before you know it, I'm flying. Brother Branham said it like this. He said, the Holy Ghost. He said, remember how, see, we're behind something. We're behind a veil. I've got resistance. I've got this mental attitude. I got your all attitude sitting by me too. You don't know it, but you carry a spirit in here every Sunday. You carry the spirit in here tonight. I hope it was the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'm just doing a little sarcasm to try to strike to you. You know, overemphasizing it. You know what I'm trying to say. Just to draw a mental picture. I'm not trying to tear you down or anything, but I'm trying to catch you. That's how we do it. We don't realize it. If we come in here and with the attitude, I wish I was somewhere else. Well, you aren't helping anybody. You know, we've got to come together here. We're an army. We're a mystical. We're a body of Christ. We've come here together tonight to press into the Spirit. And there could be somebody here between life and death, physically and spiritually. We don't want to talk about it too much, but a young man missed it. And there was, and whoa, shocks you. You go, what in the world? It could happen right among you. And we miss it. Then we say, how did we miss it? We need to get in Christ. We need to get in His presence. We need to get in the Spirit. We need to be serious. I'm telling you, it's the closing hours. Something in me is moving me. I'm saying, I called up today and I saw an old message and I started reading it. It said, don't take rejection personal. Because the farther you get in Christ, the more people are going to reject you. Because even to the church, you're going to become a religious fanatic. You're getting carried away. You're doing it. Don't take rejection personal. But every one of the believers in the Bible were rejected. They were killed for their faith. We might not be killed, but our influence might be killed. you could be murdering somebody by your attitude towards them if you speak a word about them.
Amen.
Now, this is not going to all be rebuke. We're going to give you a way out now. And just look at the critical world today against the powers and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think of our nation today. Now, he's talking about, I think this was 1961. Think about this. Think of our nation today, how critical, how sin is waiting on every hand, and yet we go to church. Oh, we're very religious people in going to church, and so was Israel. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Now, we've got a truth that Jesus Christ saves from all sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies the believer, fills the believer with the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of toxin, but the people's refusing to take it. And that's the reason we got the things that we have now. I meet people all the time that tells me, Brother Branham, I just can't keep from smoking. I met a little woman here not long ago, and she was in a restaurant. The poor little thing looked like she had TB, tuberculosis, to begin with, because the advertisement told her she would be thin if she smoked. Do you realize that death, that's death on you that does that? Do you really realize that you're killing yourself by doing it? She said, I just can't help it. I have to do it. No, she doesn't. The reason she does it is because she refuses the toxin. There is a balm for that. A man told me, a Christian, supposed to be, that he had such a habit that he couldn't turn his head from women. I said, it's your own fault. He said, I just can't keep from doing it. I said, you refuse the toxin, that's all. God can sanctify that spirit of yours in such a fix, in such a condition, say, well, just look at them on the street. I said, I don't care what they are. You don't have to look at them. If God gives you the Holy Ghost, you'll look for something better than that, something higher, something greater than that, because they refuse to take the toxin. And because we don't have a victorious life, and yes, life is meant to be hard. Yes, we're supposed to have tests so we can have a testimony. But because we go through something, it's not to weaken our faith, it is to strengthen our faith. It is to draw us closer to the one that created us. It's to trust in the one that is leading us. Amen. It's to trust in the one that's given us breath and existence. That's why we go through the things we go through. It's not to weaken you. Oh, brother, that's that one that hasn't been through too much. Well, if you had faith, you wouldn't be going through that. Yeah, just give him a little time. He'll get tested and find out too. I mean, it hurts to get sick. Yes, it hurts to get sick. But if you take the right attitude towards it and say, God's working something out here. He's given me some personal time. And I mean, I laid on my back and they told me I was going to die. You know, I had a heart attack and I thought, well, no, I don't think so. But, you know, they was getting pretty serious with me, you know, and all those things. And I just said, well, Lord, I just commit myself to you. There's nothing that I can do. I love you with all my heart. I trust in your word. I see the word of God for my day. And you've given me the Holy Ghost. And I've been praying that you'll do more in my life. I guess I need to learn a few more things. It was a time to reflect. You know, after I read this thing, my purpose was, I started praying different. Every morning, I would look and I'd say, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of the Holy Ghost. If I've got things in my life I don't like, it's because, and I know this, they're not there, so I'm supposed to be an overcomer. See, he's given me something to overcome. And then if I overcome, I can eat of the fruit of the overcomer. This is an overcomer's day. When you overcome, man, you get blessed. You start eating some good things. You have a little more joy, and you partake of heavenly things and blessings. And, you know, you just get, I mean, life is different. Every day in Christ should be greater. I know it should be. I know it's hard to think. Well, yeah, you're excited. Wait till tomorrow when you got to carry that mail for 8 hours. Tell me how excited you're getting. Well, you know how excited I get. I put my little MP3 player on and I just start listening to the word. And I say, praise the Lord. I know what's going on. And I see people running to and fro and everybody's as busy as can be, but nobody knows where they're going. I heard a quote this way. Don't let life live you. Don't let life live you. You live life. You live your life. Don't let this crazy world live you. That's what we do. We buy things on impulse and then we got to do other things to get it. And then I'm living. Do I own that or does that own me? The only thing I want to be owned by is Christ. I want to be possessed by Christ. Amen? So that what I started doing, I just said, and this is before I even went to Africa. And I just kept walking around and I wasn't anticipating any kind of emotion or any kind of experience. I didn't know what to anticipate. I just wanted more of Him. He told me that I could have more of Him, that I could overcome the things of the world. I could overcome myself. I could overcome my problems. And yeah, I still have them, but I'm overcoming them. I don't let them keep me down as long. You know, I don't go into a, oh, woe is me, and I must not be saved. I'm not even going to church. What's the use? Man, that hasn't hit me in years and years and years and years. But you see people go through that. Why? Because they're not settled in Christ. They're anchored. They don't understand the battle. They're looking at their flesh. We must recognize our enemy and we must withstand him. Do you know that the greatest generals of all time, they knew what it took to win a victory before they went to the battle. They knew what they must do before they went to the war. Just like the scripture says, what man doesn't consider going to war with somebody that's got 20 or 30,000 guys, and I look back and I got 5,000 or 5 men. I better start considering the war. I better look at what I have to do to win this battle, because this battle is going to happen. It's going to be real, and it's going to be fierce. I better know what I'm getting into.
Amen?
Amen? So we got to know our enemy, and your enemy is you. Your enemy is your flesh. Your enemy is your mind. Now, your mind is good as long as it lines up with the Word of God. If your mind takes you over this way, you say, well, wait a minute. Let me compare that to the Word. Because what do I want? I don't want my mind. I want the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is His Word. You know, everybody says, well, I like that someone said this, says, you know, what we do is we struggle in life. We spend a lot of our energy trying to find the will of God for our lives. God, what do you want me to do? What church do you want me to go? Who should be my pastor? What should I do? You spend all your energy. What you need to spend your energy on is something you have control of, is a humble, consecrated, prayerful life before God. That's where you should spend your energy. That's where you should spend your time, because God manifests His Word by bringing it to pass. He brings it to pass. So if you live humbly before Him, ask for more of Him, fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Give me more. I want to overcome. I've got this attitude towards somebody. Me and the wife aren't getting along. I want to look at her different. I want to be like it's honeymoon. Never let the honeymoon die. My wife gets on me all that time. I say, hey, I'm on a continuous honeymoon. I'm 18. A lot of people, you know, and I just thought, well, we're all mature Christians. We don't get excited no more. How mature are you? You might be 80 in the body, but I can guarantee you, if you're born in Christ, you're still 18. You're 18 to 20 inside. Now, we have to be reasonable. You know, I don't expect you to come up here and jump up and down until you pass out. But you know what I mean? Our spirit, like Brother Branham said, I pray that my life is not crowned by some old grumpy spirit. I grew up with neighbors like that. They got old. They got mean because they think life is passing them by because they don't see anything beyond this life. See, if this is all you got, yeah, Paul said it. You're a people most miserable. Because this is all you got. Better enjoy it. Eat, drink, and be merry, because it's going to be over. It might not be over like you think, but it'll be over for you someday. But don't let life crown you with being grumpy. You don't have to be grumpy. My mom, she might hear this one day. I better not say it. I'll just tell you, she's grumpy. She's miserable. Because she doesn't have Christ. She won't take the toxin. How many times have I got on my knees and asked her? And she'll get a little emotional, but she won't do nothing about it. And now that's what I'm talking about, emotions and the balance. You don't get emotional and then, yeah, it's good to get emotional and you walk away and your life changes. But if you just keep getting emotional, you know, and that's what they do. They get all emotional, but they don't line their life up with the Word. You know, it's like some guys did my roof the other day, and they were standing outside smoking cigarette after cigarette and in their shorts and, you know, the whole thing. And find out that, man, the two of them was born-again Christians. And, you know, before they left, I had to give them a thing. I had to talk about the Word of God for the hour, you know, pillar of fire. You know, I had to tell them, I said, you can have your opinion. I didn't tell them they weren't Christians, but I said, you can have your opinion of what Christianity is, but God backs up the man that'll tell you what Christianity is. God backs up his man. We all got our own opinions. We all got all kinds of things, but God backs up his word. He proves his word. Amen. He proves his man. And that's what I hold to that, and that's my challenge to anybody I have fellowship with. They might be smarter than me and know the word better than me, but I tell them, I says, you ain't got no pillar of fire vindication. You ain't got no thus saith the Lord. You don't impress me a bit. Amen. That's as simple as it gets, brother, sister. We have got the truth. Amen. Then we should be so saturated with it. Not just in the knowledge of it, but in the application of it in our spiritual being. That, you know, I said, like, in the little message, faith, he was talking about, you know, like I said, I got saved. The next day I was different. But I had to keep going higher in Christ. I needed more of the Holy Ghost, and he drove things out of my life. You know, like that artesian well. It just keeps throwing all the garbage out. It gets out of there. It's gone. Life is springing up. My soul is a living well. Springing waters into eternal life. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. The half has not yet been told. Oh, I'm just now starting to get a hold. Where have I been all these years? I start thinking, man, this word's starting to open up. I can hardly contain myself. I'm going, how is that going to happen? How's the rapture going to take place? Is it just going to be to the day as I just keep walking in Christ? Happy in Christ. Carefree in Christ. Now, you know what I mean by carefree. I mean, not slothful carefree, like, you know, whatever. But I'm talking about, hey, I got a little challenge. I don't let my whole world fall apart over it. I got a friend that, you know, he had a hard time for a little while. And of course, he married the wrong woman. It was somebody else's wife. And then he wondered why his marriage fell apart. And I thought, well, okay, firm foundation. You got to build your foundation on the Word. You can't marry something that's already messed up, and accept all of a sudden you're going to be the miracle worker, huh? Well, your foundation's wrong. You can't marry another woman while she's got a living husband. Pretty simple. And he was a believer. He knew better than that. But then he wondered why his family fell apart. So he fell apart and he went back to the world. I went, oh, mercy. You know, I mean, it makes your head spin. You wonder, why do they do that to themselves? Did they ask anybody? No. They were so full of knowledge, but they didn't have no relationship. The Holy Ghost did tell you, like we said, I think that small, still voice, you know, going through the radio. Oh, no, I remember that song. Well, wait a minute now. My spiritual man. He's not benefiting on this. If I'll take a second, he's grieved. The Holy Ghost in me is grieved. And they call this stuff Christian music. I remember when I was in the world, I mean, I was saved and at work one time, and this young Christian guy took me to his house and he said, I'll be right back out. And he put on some music and I thought, what in the world is this? You know, I thought it was Led Zeppelin or something. I thought, man, what is this hard rock? And he come back out, and I said, what is that? And he goes, oh, that's Carmen. I said, Carmen, huh? I said, I bet you was raised in a Christian home, weren't you? He goes, yeah. I said, you probably never heard nothing quite like that, did you? He says, no. I said, well, let me tell you where I heard it. I said, I heard it in the bars. I heard it when I was stoned out of my mind. I said, that ain't nothing but rock and roll. Amen. No, it's not. Where's their spiritual discernment? 9 o'clock. Praise the Lord. What do I do with them glasses? Where's my Clark Kent look at? Here it is. So do you believe tonight that your flesh is your worst enemy? So your position is in Christ. Your position is in Christ. That's the Holy Ghost. The land, the Canaan land, was a type of the Holy Ghost. Our position is to be in the Holy Ghost, in Christ Jesus. That's where we should be. Anything outside of that, you're not going to go. Because why? Now, he ascended on high and spent gifts back to man. Now, when he pulls the Holy Ghost from the earth, his spirit, what's he pulling? His body. Right? He's one with his body. It's a oneness. So if you're not in Christ, guess what? You're not dead to yourself. If you're not in the body of Christ, you're not going to go. Don't care how much message you think you know. So I challenge you. Pray. Read your Bible. Stay humble before God. And say, Lord, I need more of the Holy Ghost. Until you have a real experience. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this or that. But you'll know when you're in the body. Because what happens when you're in the body? This is what God... Let me see. I had to write it down. It just come to me, the thing. It's a mystical body, right? So when I'm born into that body, when I'm baptized into that body by the Holy Ghost, then I become a servant of that body. Like Brother Jeff brought that series. We say we're sons of God, then we ought to be a servant to all in the body. Right? Maybe you're light years ahead of me. But, you know, just excuse me while I just get excited about what I'm seeing. Then if you're my body, what man doesn't take care of his own body? He loves himself. He takes care of it. So what would I do? I have a revelation that you're in the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Then I'll minister one to another because you're part of my body. If I got a hurt, man, I want to take care of that hurt till it gets back to the flow. And if we see one another, then when one another struggles, then you're hurting the whole body. If you're not in Christ the way you should be, if you're not dedicated the way you should be, you're hindering the body. If you claim to be a part of the body. So take on responsibility to help the body of Christ. Do your part. Do your part. Get so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of the love of God, those things of the world won't have no pull on you. I can tell you, if the world's starting to feel attractive to you and you're getting a little... Here's why people get bored in church. Because they really don't know what's going on. And I've been dying to run up down there, but I haven't done it. So I'm staying up here. Victory, Brother Jeff. Because that brother said something, you know, run the aisles, we think you had a church. Well, I can have church without doing that too. It's hard though. Because it's hard to see. I like to be on eye level. That's why I enjoyed Africa so much, you know. Because you're kind of buried in the people and everybody couldn't see you and you couldn't see everybody. Because there, it was black and everybody's about black and you couldn't see nobody. And so you just was laying it out there. There was no hindrances to see if somebody's sleeping, somebody's bored, somebody's out in La La Land, somebody's in the land of Nod. It's manifest in time. The fruit is on the vine. Where are we? Why is the fruit, that brother brought it out last night about tomatoes and ripening. And the first thing you pick is the tomatoes usually that ripen first are the ones nearest to the sun. Right? So this is manifesting time. The fruit's on the vine. That's why we're at the end time. And that's why we're in the presence of the Son of Man, the ministry, and because we're coming to maturity. We're becoming ripe in Christ. Amen. And your life should be ripe in Christ to where we can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can you be a written epistle read of all men if Christ is not living out of you? You ain't got, unless you write a slogan on your t-shirt, that's about the only thing they're going to read. Well, he must be a Christian. Look, it says, I'm a Christian. No, they ought to be able to read your life and say, that man's a Christian. Because why? Because your body, you're so dead that Christ now has taken abode in your body and he's living his life out of you, through you. That's what he wants to be. He wants to live in his body. He has a right. He purchased this body. And we're his inheritance. He's our inheritance. He's our down payment. He paid the price. Therefore, there is no condemnation to me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I moved into the body of Christ. And that was a righteous taken offering of God, accepted it. It was approved of God. It was vindicated because he says, I have power to lay this life down and I have power to take it up again. And if you got the Holy Ghost in you tonight, you have the same power in you to raise your own mortal body. Amen. You have the power in you, if you can believe it, to overcome the things of the world. Amen. To overcome your temper. To overcome your backsliding. To overcome that favorite TV show you just got to follow because they got you hooked. Boy, they just love it. Ain't nothing but another soap opera in my book. Yeah. Got to find out what is Mary Lou going to do next week? Please. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for the rapture? Definitely an evangelist, Brother Lonnie. Definitely an evangelist. Have I stirred you up enough tonight? Have you recognized who your enemy is? Amen. You don't have to tell me. And I had a good time in Michigan the other week, but they always said, Brother Howard, you come up here and you try to get us all excited. Well, we're not that way. And I said, and then last couple of weeks ago, I said, well, guess who's not that way? God didn't make you that way. Who made you that way? You're letting Satan control your life. I don't have to be like Brother Howard. Amen. Don't be like Brother Howard. I got enough trouble. We don't need two of us. But be like who you are in Christ. Amen. You die to your personality, your traits, who you inherited all these things. You're meant to overcome those things. You're to break that. You're to sever that tie with the flesh. Oh yeah, it's going to be sticky, yes, but you're to overcome it. It's your challenge. The character is a victory. Your character is a victory. So you're going to battle these things to mold character of Christ in you. To show that you're an overcomer. He overcame, so you'll overcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. I thought about it. I said, my eye, an hour. And I said, I preached 3 hours in Africa and they was trying to turn me off. They had enough. And I thought that's what was required of me. Brother Jeff told me I had to preach 3 hours at least. So I just took the pastor's word for it. And after a while, they was trying to turn me off. Look back and everybody's like this. All the brothers sitting back. Okay, Brother Howard. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to read something else. Let's all stand. I didn't read a lot of things, but that's okay. I bet you got my gist of it. Oh, here we go. I wanted to read that, Brother Lonnie, that day when all these people were up here, but I didn't do it. I controlled myself. You say, well, it just goes to the Pentecostal. This is Brother Branham, of course, preaching in the Pentecostal age. Pentecostal is not a denomination. They tried to do that, but you can't denominate God. Pentecost is an experience that any believer can have. See, it's for the Baptist, it's for the Catholic, it's for the Jews, it's for the black, for the white, the brown, for the yellow, for the red, any creed, color, anything you are, rich or poor, got nothing, got plenty, whether you're in between or whatever you are, it's for you. And it's God's love and mercy measured out to you to take it. God's challenging you tonight to take more of Him. He's inexhaustible. When somebody gets healed, He doesn't get weaker. You can't exhaust God. You can't exhaust His blessings. I remember listening to somebody told me, he said, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. I was like, wait a minute. You know, I might not be as bright as some of you. I had to think about that for a while. How can God want to bless? I want to be blessed to the max. My wife knows it. She calls me an extremist. I do everything to the extreme. You know, and I pay the price sometimes. When I was a kid, I used to if I liked ice cream, I'd get a whole half a gallon with pineapple topping, and I'd sit there and eat the whole half a gallon. I was an extremist. That's just the way I am. But I can break that thing. I can overcome that. I didn't think that, right? Okay. God put me here for a purpose, and it's helped balance me a lot. So, praise the Lord. Here we go. And it's God's love and mercy measured out to you. Don't cost you one thing. Only thing it costs you is just to surrender your life to Him and receive it. How simple. Just forget all you ever knowed and just surrender yourself to Him, and that's how it comes. It's just receiving it that way. Oh my, that's too simple. I want to know the seals. I want to know all this stuff. I want to understand Brother Lonnie when he does his, you know. Just because we can read and write and we're adults, we think we got to understand that. You know, the first time. Well, it's not. It's a spiritual revelation. You're a baby. When you're born in Christ, you're just a baby. That's why I used to stay at the altar and cried all the time, because I didn't know nothing. I cried for the first year I was a Christian. I cried all the time, every service. Finally, somebody said, "Hey, Brother Howard, have faith. Get up." Because I was a sinner. I was repenting. Every day I'd see something, so I wanted to repent, because I was raised in that, born in that kind of church, because we follow that. But I'm telling you, we've got a great ministry here, and we got the depth of the Word, but I'm telling you, some of you are still babes in Christ. Some of you haven't given your life totally to God. Yeah, you give your heart and you're saved, but you got to give your life. You got to give up everything. Everything until He reflects His life back through you. Then He'll show you, "I've accepted your faith. I've accepted your surrender. You have come to the place that I see that you are dead. Now you need a new body. Come into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit." Amen? And you'll walk in the Spirit and you'll be sons and daughters of God. You'll be in Christ. Read all these things in Ephesians. He talks about being in Christ. To those that are in Christ, you have to be in Christ. That's in the body. So you have to be dead to be in the body. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's all bow our heads. Musicians, you may come. Lord Jesus, Father, we didn't mean to be stern, and I don't think they took me that way, Lord Jesus, and didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings, Father, but Lord, I'd rather have my feelings hurt than miss something of God, Lord. As Brother Branham said, if it takes the hide off me, Lord, and I've been beat a few times, pretty close to that, Lord, and then I look back as I grew up, I didn't like it at the time, but I deserved every one of them I got. And if He didn't do that, how much worse would I have been, even when I was bad? So, Lord God, You know exactly what each one of these people need. And I've prayed that way all day, Father, that You would give them exactly what they have need of. Not what I thought they had need of, but what You thought they have need of. I pray, Father, that You would make it so real to them, Father, that every time they pray now, they get down. They won't listen to their mind. They won't listen to their body, Lord, but they'll listen to that soul, and they'll bring that soul into Your presence and say, "Lord Jesus, I need more of You. I need more of You tonight, Lord." Every day, every Christian should say, "What do You want, brother, sister? I need more of Him." Oh God, we all want more of You tonight, Lord. Fill our cup afresh, Lord Jesus, I pray. Father God, forgive us all of our shortcomings. And Lord, You don't even see the sin in the flesh. It's so wonderful that You don't even see my mistakes. I'm the one that sees my mistakes. The other people sees my mistakes. But Lord, You don't even see them. You just want me to die to myself and surrender my life to You so You can give me more of You. Oh, Father, You're such a gentleman. I love You so much. I thank You for my brothers and sisters. Bless their hearts, Father. Lord, give us our loved ones. As Lord has said, if we have faith enough, Lord God, to be saved, then we'll believe for our household, Father, and that they'll have their experience, because You're the same God, Father. You're no respecter of person, Lord. Bring them in, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we give You the praise and glory. Amen. How about more of You? More of You? How's that little song go? Somebody started for me. Oh, more of You. More of You. I've had it all, but what I need is just more.
Yes, Lord. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. Yes, Lord. Empty and bare, Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Yes, Lord. You need to sing a song until you get some emotion into it. Start feeling that heart connection. A little passion never hurts you. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's water that word now with a little spirit here. Amen. Make love to Him. Open up your heart and say, Lord, I just want you to fill me so full of the love of God. Amen. Help me sing it now.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
I like this. He is so wonderful.
Because he first loved me.
Do you love him? Tell him tonight.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
I love you, Lord. Wonderful again, can you?
And to me, he is so wonderful.
Amen.
To me, he is so wonderful.
Yes, Lord.
To me, he is so wonderful.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Tommy, I'll let you come on up here if you'll sing. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Brother and sister, why wait to be happy over there? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody will be happy over there.
Amen. Praise God. I'll never forsake you. No, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. Because he first loved. Jesus is to me. Oh, he's a counselor, a prince of peace. Oh, mighty God is he. He is saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer. His name. Oh, yes. Oh, my heart sings today. It sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. Peace like to a river. For Jesus is wonderful and mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Yes, he's a counselor, a prince of peace, a mighty God is he. He is saving me, from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, once was lost, now I'm found, I'm free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and full salvation. Now the sins of the past, oh, have been is to be. Oh, he's a counselor, a prince of peace. A mighty God is he. He is saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Yes, I'm living here with my Lord in a holy union. Day by day, all the way, oh, holy sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has brought in my lowly station. Since my soul has received, oh, free and full salvation. Oh, wonderful, yes, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Yes, he's a counselor, a prince of peace. A mighty God is he. He is saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. One more time, yes, he's wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, prince of peace. A mighty God is he. He is saving me, he's keeping me, oh, from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Praise God. Let's just bow before him tonight. Lord, we so love to praise you and glorify your name. You're worthy, Lord. Lord, we want that communion with you every day. Lord, we want our hearts in tune. So tune every heartstring, Lord, till each one of us is more and more like you each day, till our hearts are so in tune, Lord, that you can speak, go here, go there, go where you would want us to go, Lord. Speak to the one you'd want us to speak to us. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. Thank you for every soul that you touch, Lord. Lord, we don't know where this will go, but you know, Lord, you know every heart that needs it, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one, Lord. We know that many have to go to work tomorrow, Lord, and I'm sure that Satan will try to be present to confuse, to condemn, but Lord, greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. That's your scripture, that's your word, Lord. We quote that many times, Lord, because we know it's true. So have your way. Just may you be with each one in a special way, Lord, to get her back at a special time, Lord, that's allotted. May you just draw everyone closer to you and keep us near the cross. Keep your arms around us, Lord. Make us a living testimony. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There is none like you. You're dismissed. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. No, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. To be loved, Jesus, to be like you. On earth I long just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only to be him one more time. Just to be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On earth I long. Just to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Jesus, make me more like.